Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. And when I put my left hand down, my right hand goes up. When I try to keep quiet, tears start rolling down my eyes. Anybody came to give them glory? Anybody came to give him glory? This is revival. You might as well bless the Lord at all times. His praise really ought to be in your mouth. Your soul ought to make a boast to the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I've been young and now just a little older, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I've got the testimony that what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around and worked it together for good. And in all things, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I don't know who I came for, but somebody ought to give God 30 seconds of praise because you made it. I said, you ought to give God 30 seconds of praise because you made it. Woo, you made it. Yes, you did. Made it through this, and I made it through that. I've been saying all year long, I don't know when and I don't know how, but Lord knows I sure do know God. I said, I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but if he be God, he's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Somebody ought to give him praise because he's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the... Oh, ah, my. There is a word from the Lord. Just tap your neighbor, say to be continued. Tap the other neighbor, say to be continued. Hallelujah. That's not the last praise. Hallelujah. That's just the first praise. Hallelujah. I greet you in the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed. They've been brand new to us every single morning. And because of that, we can say, great is the Lord's faithfulness. My testimony is I've been young and now just a little older, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. That's why I can say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, for the Lord will. Somebody say he will. He'll strengthen my heart. If you love Jesus, would you put your hands together again and give him a hand clap of praise? Come on, clap your hands like the devil's in between them. Clap your hands like you got victory. Clap your hands like you're more than a conqueror. Clap your hands like you're the lender and not the borrower. Hallelujah. And while you're clapping, will you help me to celebrate this wonderful and anointed music ministry? Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. While you're clapping, help me to celebrate this ministerial team and these deacons. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We certainly give God high praise and honor, and it is good to be here. We honor the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place. Amen. If you haven't felt God's Spirit already, you may want to check your pulse. Make sure you are alive, because everything that has breath is giving him praise in here. Amen. Certainly we honor and give God praise for Deacon Nix, the chair of our deacon board here. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise to these associate ministers who are doing a wonderful job leading. Amen. To my friend, Minister Tamika Farabee. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Brother James Barnes on the drums. Amen. Holding it down. JB. Amen. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1 through 7. I bring you greetings from Holy Nation Baptist Church. We are the church in the hood that will do you some good. Amen. Amen. And so we're grateful to be here tonight. There's some of those who are from Holy Nation tonight. If you're from Holy Nation, would you just wave your hand? Amen. Amen. Thank God for those who have come to support their pastor. Amen. And I thank God. Amen. For my good brother and my good friend, Pastor Donald Moore from the Mount Carmel Baptist Church is here. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. And I think I saw Minister Mary Jones in the sanctuary. Amen. 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 My seminary classmate. Amen. Amen. And then I saved the best for last. My sugar and spice and everything nice. Amen. Amen. Holy Nation calls her their first lady, but I call her my only lady. Help me celebrate God for Minister Ursula Johnson. Amen. Amen. I'm glad y'all sat her closer. That way I won't preach 5 hours. Amen. Amen. We got to get out of here. Amen. There is a word from the Lord, a very familiar portion of scripture, and I know that God is going to meet us. I'm going to show you what he showed me, and then I'm going to leave you. Amen. In the capable hands of Dr. Marsha Brown Woodard. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity it is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with some of the generals of the faith. You had Pastor Daniel Black yesterday. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I asked him earlier today. I said, Doc, did you leave anything for me to do? He said, it's all right. It's all right. Amen. And so we're doing a relay. We're building upon so that you can be revived. Somebody say, Lord, revive me. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 5, verse 1 through verse 7. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And then if you put your finger there and turn over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 2, and we'll look at verse number 40 through verse 41. Amen. That will be the conclusion of the reading of the word of God. If you have Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, say, I've got it. Amen. If you need a minute, say, hold up, preacher. Amen. Don't be scared of the table of contents. Say, it ain't gonna bite. Amen. Amen. If you'll bring that water, thank you. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1 reads like this. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And Jesus noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them. And they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when Jesus had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper. Somebody say deeper. And let down your nets to catch some fish. But Simon quickly responded and said, Master, we have worked hard all last night. And you need to know we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners in the boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Acts chapter 2, verse number 40, continues the story and says, then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of his word. Let's pray. Gracious and eternal God, we do thank you now for one more chance to be in your presence. We thank you that in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so, Lord God, we didn't come for form or fashion, but we came, oh God, because we need a right now word for a right now people who are facing a right now situation. I thank you, Lord, for clarity of thought, articulation of speech, and for bringing wisdom to my humble words. Father, my prayer is that you save somebody, that you heal someone, that you deliver, and that you set free. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Everybody that loved Jesus said amen. Amen. If you love him, say amen again. For a couple of moments, as the Spirit of the Lord shall lead and direct, I'd like to tag this text with the title, There Are the Fish in the Sea. Would you look at the neighbor on your left or your right and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, there are other fish in the sea. Now find another neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't be discouraged because there are other fish in the sea. Now, if you believe it, give God a hand clap of praise like it's already. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ and creation, I think that it is important. I think that it is critical. I think that it is necessary for us to understand the premise through which the gospel writer Luke writes his gospel. I think it is important to understand that Luke, the disciple, and Luke, the apostle, and Luke, the one who writes this gospel narrative, it presents an accurate and orderly account of the life and death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament student would understand and be served well to understand that when you want to look for factual and actual data, you can usually go to Luke, because Luke does not spare the details of helping us to see exactly what was on the mind and the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we go through critically evaluating and looking at the Gospel of Luke, it becomes crystal clear and evident that Jesus is interested in people. It becomes crystal clear after really reading and seriously studying and patiently praying that Jesus is really, really interested in people. People who look like you and I, and people who might not look like you and I. And I don't know about you, but I'm hallelujah happy and thank you, Jesus, glad that I can look in the scripture and see that Jesus is interested in people that look like you and I. The truth of the matter is that some of us came out to revival tonight because somebody told us about a Jesus who was interested in us. I was reviewing your testimony while I was in the back room, and I read that from the guttermost to the uttermost, Jesus really does save. I know that you said that you gave him your old filthy garments and he gave you a robe of pure white, and now you're happy in Jesus because of the change that happened in your life. I just believe that there's somebody on the sound of my voice who is not happy with normal and not satisfied with satisfactory, but who necessarily came to God's house because you want God to do something on the inside of you. You see, people of God, it's impossible to come into God's presence under all of this anointing, under all of this power, with the power of God going forth and remain the same. You see, when you come into God's house, you ought to be new. You ought to be renewed and strengthened and changed from the inside out. You see, that's why people on your job can't understand what happened to you, because you were a piece of work on Monday night, but then you came to Tuesday night revival and then came to Wednesday night revival. And now you're talking to folk that you wanted to cuss out because God has done a work on the inside of you. Give me some scripture to back it up. If any man be in Christ, all things have passed away. And what? Behold, all things have become new. You see, I'm convinced that the reason that God is interested in us is because he wants to develop us. He wants to develop us, because if we are going to be everything that God wants us to be, we cannot be complacent with where we are right now. Yeah, God is developing me. Somebody say, God is developing me. He's developing me. He's developing me. And I got about 30 people in the house who can testify that the reason I didn't snap, crackle, and pop is because God has been developing me. The reason I didn't fly off the handle, the reason I didn't go back to my BC days, the reason I didn't do the old things that I used to do and put my old man under subjection is because God is developing me. I really did want to cuss. I really did want to cut. I really did want to act a monkey fool. But because God was developing me, I had to put myself in check. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth except that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to its hearer. That's why I got to tell myself when my coworkers get on my last nerves. That's what I got to tell myself when my boss puts something on my desk that wasn't assigned to me because somebody else dropped the ball. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself because God is developing you. He is developing you. He's developing you. He's molding you. He's shaping you. He's developing you because there's greatness all over your life. I know the person sitting to your left and your right just looks like Lottie Dottie and everybody. But the truth of the matter is that God's got greatness all over their life. You can't see the process that they're in. But if you had just seen them in 95 when they went to the, oh, Lord, have mercy. If you had just seen them when they went to the Greek picnic. If you had just seen them when they went to Gotham. If you had just seen them when they were rolling it. When you have just seen them if they were puffing and passing, but now God is doing a work on the inside of them. That's why you can't judge a book by the chapter you find it in, because you don't understand that I'm only in the third chapter. But if you had caught me 5 chapters ago, all right, he's developing. Somebody say, he's developing me. Yeah, he's developing me. And I want to say from the outset, I got to move this. I want to say from the outset that there's a difference between membership and discipleship. Membership says you give the preacher your hand and you give God your heart. But discipleship says that you've got to be a student, learner, and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discipleship means that you'll press your way and come out to a service on a Thursday night when you could be looking at the have and have nots. Discipleship says that you'll pray and fast and turn down your plate. Why? Because I want to be more like Jesus. I wonder, is there anybody under the sound of my voice who really does want to walk like Jesus, really does want to talk like Jesus, really wants to love like Jesus? You see, salvation is free, but discipleship costs something. And I want to tell you today and suggest to somebody as I move this train that God is developing you because he's got a great plan over your life. You see, you've got to understand that God is developing you because in the next chapter of your life, he's going to do something that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, that hadn't even entered into the hearts of men. What great things God's got in store for you. You see, I've discovered in my short pastoral ministry that there is a difference between training and development. Everybody needs to be trained if you're going to be somebody. But I want to suggest to you that training will only take you so far, because training just gives you the necessary tools to accomplish the task that is before you. But sometimes you got to think outside of the box and do things beyond the training that you've received. And that's when development comes into play. You don't believe me, so let's go through the word of God. You can be trained to sail the open sea, but you got to be developed to navigate the storm. You can be trained to pass out fish and loaves, but you got to be developed to meet people's needs. You can be trained to visit the sick and shut in, but you got to be developed to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You can be trained to pass out bulletins, put on a white suit, put your hand behind your back, but you got to be developed to be hospitable. You can be trained to preach and exegete the text and read with clarity, but you got to be developed to proclaim. You can be trained trained to sing, but you got to be developed to minister. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I came to tell somebody under the sound of my voice that God's had his hand on you because he's developing you for something great. He's developing you for something that your mama prayed for and your daddy asked for and your grandmama had in her wildest imagination. Somebody say, get ready. Get ready, because there are other fish. Somebody say, there are other fish in the sea. Yeah, there are other fish in the sea. There are other fish in the sea. And if there are other fish in the sea, let me give you my 3 points, because I'm a Baptist preacher. I'll say that 3 times. We're going to shout and give God praise. The first point is that God is developing you. Somebody say, he's developing me. He's developing you. Not only is he developing you, but then he's giving you determination so that he can take you deep. Good God Almighty, already told you 3. He's developing you so that you'll have determination so that you can go deeper. What did I say? He's developing you so that you have determination so that you can go deeper. Can we look at the word of God? Bible says that one day Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. That's group number one. Jesus notices 2 empty boats, for fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. That's group number two. I know that we are all children of the Most High God. I know that we are all church family, but I want to suggest to somebody under the sound of my voice that in every sanctuary, there are 2 groups of individuals. There are 2 groups of individuals. Yes, there are a couple of hundred of people here tonight, but the truth is that all of us can be separated in 2 different camps. Can I prove my point? The Bible says that Jesus was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And Jesus noticed 2 empty boats, for fishermen had left them and washing their nets. You see, group number one is on the shore, and group number 2 has left the boat. Group number 1 is standing on solid ground, and group number 2 is standing on shaky ground. Group number 1 is excited and eager because they just got fed physically. But group number 2 is discouraged and frustrated. Group number 1 is on the shore, but group number 2 has just left the boat. And that lets me know, child of God, that coming here tonight, there are 2 groups of people who have come to worship the Lord. You see, in every church, there are 2 groups of members. Either you are a boat member or you're a beach member. Good God Almighty. You see, a beach member is different from a boat member, because a beach member is on vacation. A beach member is just coming for what they can come for when they want to come. That's why they can come 30 minutes late and leave 20 minutes early, because they ain't got nothing on the line. They just on vacation. They just came to see what you got on. They just came to critique the sermon. They just came to evaluate the music ministry. But there are a couple of us who are on the boat who said, I didn't come for form or fashion. I don't care what you got on. I don't care if the mic is working. I don't care if the sound is right. But I need God to show up one way or another, because I just got off a boat that made me feel like I was going to lose. And I just need to know, is there a word from the Lord? Can I talk to some boat members in here to tell you that what God wants you to do is to be steadfast, abounding, and always unmovable in the work and the word of the Lord. Preach, Pastor, I already am. When you are on the boat, God is interested in helping you to actualize what you've heard. What good is it to just be hearers of the word and not just doers of the word? And some of us understand that sometimes the real application of the sermon doesn't happen when the shout happens in the sanctuary, but the real application of the sermon happens after the benediction, because then I got to go home to them crazy people who are sucking up my DirecTV and sitting in my air conditioner and trying to stab me in my back. I've got to try and put it in practice. Do I have some real believers in here? You can always tell a beach member versus a boat member, because beach members chill. They real calm. They don't want to disrupt nothing. But it's the boat members who are loud, always got their hands raised, always standing in your way, always getting on your nerves. But you don't realize that God's got something that he's doing in their life. And it's a life or death situation where they got to make contact with God. So he develops him. I'm already done. I'm going to say that two more times. We're going to shout and give God praise. And not only does he develop him, but he has to give him determination. Luke chapter 5 is a story all about determination. I know it's all about determination because the Bible says that that Peter has been doing exactly what he has been trained and prepared and paid to do. But because he did not catch anything, he has to make a critical decision to go back and try it again. I need to mention at this point that I really, really love Luke because he's interested in people. I love him because he defies beyond and goes beyond what typical church folk want us to talk about. Most church folk are excited and willing to thank God because Jesus visits us in the sick and shut-in ministry. Many of us thank and praise God because in the ICUs of life that we can find an altar before the Lord. But I love Luke because he shows us that not only is Jesus interested in death, dying, and bereavement, but that Jesus is also interested in small business owners and executives. The Bible says that Simon leaves his boat. Can I ask you a question? Why did Simon leave his boat? Well, he left his boat because he was unsuccessful in the fishing business. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I need to help somebody to understand that this was not Simon's hobby. He was not a volunteer. This was not something he did to pass time. But this was Simon's J-O-B. You see, catching limbless, cold-blooded vertebrae animal that lived entirely underwater wasn't something Simon did for fun. Simon wasn't a volunteer. This was his J-O-B. This was his occupation, his career, his vocation, and his hustle. And you need to understand that the Bible says that after working his finger to the bone, that he was unsuccessful and caught nothing. Now, I know that y'all are cool with that, because some of y'all, all you do is post on Facebook all day, every day, and still get paid. But Simon, if he didn't work, then he didn't eat. And if he didn't get any fish, then he wasn't able to pay the bill. Could you imagine what it's like working 10 hours a day, 60 hours a week, 120 hours a pay period for free? Could you imagine what it's like doing all of the work and never getting the credit? Could you imagine what it's like calling every prospect and client that there is, but still getting no return on principal? Could you imagine going to your job, but not having any fruit or anything to account for it? The Bible says that Simon worked his finger to the bone. Listen to what Simon says. I've worked hard all night long and I've caught nothing. What I'm trying to tell y'all is that he was a small business owner, y'all. He was a small business owner with a yacht payment, with payroll expense and SEP IRA contributions and other household expenses. He didn't have the luxury like us Negroes who get a direct deposit W-2 every 2 weeks, because he established changed the 1099 and the K-1 that he had to take down to his accountant. And when he had no fish, that meant no money. When he had no fish, that meant no income. When he had no fish, that meant he couldn't pay the bills. Here Simon is sitting on the side trying to figure out, how is God going to do this? Here Simon is watching gas prices at Sunoco rise higher than they ever did under Obama. Here Simon is pushing the bill collectors to do not disturb, knowing that he's available and right there. Here Simon is, the electric that he had put in his kid's name just got shut off. His Experian and Equifax and TransUnion scores are lowering. The IRS is threatening to garnish his wages. His employees have caught a case. His clients are threatening to go to the competition. And on top of all of that, Mrs. Simon is bugging him, asking him when he gonna get a real job, maybe go work for Uber or Lyft or something. Simon's under pressure. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I came to talk to somebody who left their boat. I came to talk to somebody who said, it don't make no sense. I tried everything I can to do what God told me to do, and instead of it getting better, it's only getting worse. I tried to look at the word of God and find some accurate theology to encourage your spirit, but then it was the theology of mama that came to my mind. Mama's theology never made it into the Bible, but it made it into my heart. Mama's theology said, if at first you don't succeed. Sound like my mama went to the same seminary your mama went to. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. The Bible says that Jesus gets Simon back in the boat. I feel like preaching now. That Simon gets back in the boat. But notice now that Simon doesn't get back in the boat to address his problem. Simon doesn't go back into the boat so that he can catch fish. But Simon gets back in the boat so that Jesus can do a revival in the kiddie pool. What kind of God is this who leaves out the pertinent details and forgets to tell me that we're getting back in the boat so that we can help somebody else? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice who said, if I knew now what I knew then, I would have never got back in the boat? But don't you thank God that every time, every now and then, he don't tell you everything, but sometimes he just gets you back into the boat so you can get comfortable with what the water feels like. Don't worry, we're gonna go fishing in a minute, but right now take care of these who are at the altar. We're gonna get some croakers and some salmon and some whiting and some catfish, but don't worry about that right now, Simon. We're gonna make sure that we take care of this Bible school lesson right here. He gets him back in the boat so that he can get used to what it feels like to be on the water again. Then Jesus tells Simon what we all have been waiting for. After teaching the Sunday school lesson in the kiddie pool, he tells Simon, launch out where it's deep. Simon obviously didn't go to Redeemer, because Simon, and so saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, that he does what God tells him to do without any back talk. Some of y'all, God tell you to do something and you just do it. But there are others of us who ask God why, and then why again, and then why again. Can we look at the text? Bible says that Simon says, Jesus, Pastor Jesus, Bishop Jesus, Apostle Jesus, Reverend Jesus, with all due respect, you know it's wrong when you got to start with all due respect. With all due respect, I've been fishing all night long. And I don't know if the water is any different today than it was yesterday, but ain't no fish out there. But if you say so, I'll do it again. What I love about Simon is that he chooses to tell God yes again. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I came to tell somebody that every now and then, after you've done everything that you can, you got to give God a reserved yes. You got to give God a reserved yes in good times. You got to give God a reserved yes in bad times. You see, there's a yes that comes when you got money in your pocket and gas in your tank, when you got friends on Facebook and letters behind your name, when folk are patting you on your back and clients are lined up, when your weave is tight and your shape up is fresh. But if you live long enough, child of God, things will change. But I came to tell somebody that your yes ought to remain consistent. You see, if you live long enough, your waist will extend, your hair will get gray, your teeth will fall out, your hands will shake, and you'll start forgetting stuff. But don't you stop telling God yes. You see, folk gonna die in your life. Martin Luther King, Luther Vandross, and Aretha Franklin are dead. But don't you stop telling God yes. Folk will retire, move, go around the world, and leave you for dead. But don't you stop telling God yes. Your favorite story may get canceled, but don't stop telling God yes. People may leave and move and do all kinds of things, but don't you stop telling God yes. You see, I thank God, child of God, that even if I don't have fish, if I still got a yes fisher on the way. I said, even if I don't have what I want right now, if I keep telling God yes, sooner or later croaker are on the way, sooner or later salmon are on the way. Is there anybody who can say I can tell God yes in September, even though I don't have what I want? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I may have lost my job, but I didn't lose my yes. I may have lost my money, but I didn't lose my yes. I may have lost some friends, but I didn't lose my yes. I may have lost some material possessions, but is there anybody who's happy in Jesus who can say, thank God, I never lost my yes? Can I use my sanctified imagination? I'm already done. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord God cause his face to shine upon you. But I wondered what Simon Peter wanted me to tell you. So I sent him a text message. I said, yo, Simon Peter, how did you get back in the boat? How did you go back to the water that was so deep? He said, well, I had to have a talk with Jesus. I had to tell him about my credentials. Simon said, I had to pull out my resume and I had to go line by line because I thought Jesus was mistaken about who I am. I said, Jesus, you must not know about me. So let me run through my credentials. Excuse me, Jesus. I got an undergraduate degree that I got from Temple University in fishing. I went on and got an MBA from Wharton, from the Graduate Study School of Fishing. As a matter of fact, I got a PhD in teaching folk how to fish just like I did. But if you say so, I'll do it again. You see, child of God, it may not make sense to you. You may not understand what God is doing, but you got to learn how to take him at his word. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Somebody say yeah. All right, I'm really done. I see the musician came. It's time for me to go. Y'all don't know, but I'm from D.C. And minister, in D.C., in the summertime, everybody goes to the Aquatic Center. Now, in D.C., we call it the Aquatic Center, but in North Philly, we just call it the pool. And I got to confess that I really loved the Aquatic Center because a lot happened at the Aquatic Center. I had my first bike stolen at the Aquatic Center. I stole my first bike at the aquatic center. I met my first girlfriend, don't trip, baby, at the aquatic center. Held my breath underwater at the aquatic center. I learned how to do the back stroke and the dead man's float at the aquatic center. But it was about August of 85 that I realized that there was a problem in the aquatic center. Somebody say, what was the problem? I discovered that because of my age and because of my stature, I couldn't go into the deep end. Because the lifeguard said I couldn't swim. So I went home to my mama and said, Mama, I'm upset because I can't go to the deep end. So Mama took me to Wilson High School, Warren Buffett's alma mater, so I could go into swim class. And would you know that the swim coach had the audacity and unmitigated gall to let a 5 or 6 year old boy go up 20 feet into the air down a nimble board and dare me to jump into the water? Looked at the swim coach like y'all looked at me. Said, you must be crazy. The swim coach puts a hook behind my leg, pulls me in to 12 feet of water. I'm falling now, y'all. I got my GoPro on my head because I'm thinking that I'm going to die. I started writing out my will and telling my mama my last wishes because I just know that I'm about to die. But then halfway down into the water, something changed for me. My fear turned into faith because I realized that I wasn't in the water by myself. But in the water was a swim coach. And as long as a swim coach was in the water, I was going to be all right. So when I hit the water, I was confident, y'all. I just did what I had been practicing all along. I start doing the dead man's float. I start doing the backstroke. I start doing everything that I learned. Come here, somebody. The reason you can go back and get in the water is because you're not by yourself. I thank God that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And so I thank God for every scary situation because it reminded me that if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? Good night, Redeemer. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord God cause his face to shine upon you. I just came to tell you there are other fish in the sea. I don't know what you need God to do, but the good news is you're not in it by yourself. Do you thank God that he's Emmanuel? That means God is with us. I thank God he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I thank God he's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I thank God that he's a bridge over troubled waters. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether wonderful. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Yes, Lord. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. As we're standing all over the sanctuary, there are other fish in the sea. The reason that God gets Simon back in the boat is not for his business to prosper. It wasn't about the fish anyway. Because if God needed fish, he could have spoke and fish appeared. But he wanted to know, Simon, do you trust me? Because if you can't get through Luke chapter 5, how you gonna handle Acts chapter 2? If you can't catch salmon, how you gonna catch sinners? If you can't catch croaker, how you gonna convert backsliders? So we had to give him a level of resolve to not throw in the towel in his Luke chapter 5, because Acts chapter 2 was coming. I don't know who I'm talking to on this last night of revival. I'm already over time. But God said, if you can praise me in your Luke chapter 5, Acts 2 is on the way. God said, if you can give me glory in Luke chapter 5, Acts 2 is on the way. Somebody ought to give God praise for what he's going to do. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. To give you a hope in the future. Bring you to an expected end. Truth is that there's some things you wanted to walk away from this year because you tried all night long and you caught nothing. But the prophetic word tonight is that there are other fish in the sea. Maybe your fish is your business. Maybe your fish is your ministry. Maybe your fish is your relationship. Maybe your fish is your financial well-being. Maybe the fish is the thing you've been praying about. I just came before you throw in the towel to tell you to get back in the boat with your swim coach. Because when you go out with God, he's going to give you a blessing that'll break your net and sink your boat. Isn't it amazing that the same people who saw Peter fail were the same people he put on payroll to help bring the fish back in? Two boats were empty, being washed. One boat went back out for the catch. And because it was so much, the same people who used to run with him and saw him fail had to come back to get what God had blessed him with. Spirit of the living God, I thank you now for every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, we've all had boats that we've wanted to leave at different points in our life. But God, we thank you that you're not a man that you should lie. Neither are you the son of man that you should repent. And so, God, we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord God, for developing our character. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us determination. We thank you for taking us deeper in your word and in your study. Thank you, oh God, that even if you don't change the situation, you can change us in it. So we bless you, we honor you, we praise you. Don't let us die in Luke chapter 5, realizing that Acts chapter 2 is on the way. And so, Lord, we're going to give you glory, we're going to give you honor, we're going to give you praise. We're going to keep walking, we're going to keep trusting, we're going to keep believing, we're going to keep being steadfast and abounding and always unmovable in the word of the Lord, because we just believe you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head is still bowed. Every eye is still closed. Somebody under the sound of my voice needs to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't have a church home. Maybe you are disconnected. What a great day to give your life to Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you're not 100% certain that if you were to die today, you live with God forever. Wherever you are, just raise your hand real high in the air. Maybe you already know Jesus, but you're out of fellowship. You don't have a church home. This is a fine branch of Zion to grow and be rooted and anchored in. Wherever you are, just raise your hand. Raise it real high. The ministers will pray the prayer of faith with you. The deacons will lead you through new members class. Is there one? Is there one? Hallelujah. Is there one? Is there one? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Is there one? Come on. Is there one? Come on. You're not by yourself.
Take everything I don't want.
Yes.
I don't need it, God. Take.
Is there one? Is there one? Is there one?
I don't need God. I just want. I just want you.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise all over the sanctuary.